Happy to be here. Happy to be there, y'all. Everybody tune in. We always like to keep it brief but explosive.
Yes.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. Hope everybody enjoys their holiday.
So Monday night, I hope you guys watched. Because
yeah,
I did.
Yeah, that was
crazy. The Chiefs and the Rams.
That was crazy, man.
It was a points blowout. 105 combined points between the two teams.
First time a team scores 50 and loses.
Yeah.
I mean,
what did you guys think? Because we're at the fourth quarter and the Chiefs have the ball, and every single time it's intercepted.
Well, I felt like Pat Mahomes got in his own way, and he might have made some decisions he wished he could get back. But let's be honest, that game was as good as advertised. I mean, we knew with their records that they would both come out and want to continue that streak of winning. But we also knew that with the coaching staffs that they both had, they'd be prepared for a Monday night game like that on television, biggest game of the year. And they balled out, man. It was amazing.
But why do you think that the Chiefs, you know, they lost possession like so many times?
Well, I mean, that could have been a number of things. You know, miscommunication between the receiver and the quarterback, you know, bad play design. It could have been a bunch of different things.
Or just guys trying to make plays. Because
right, or just great defense by, you know, the Rams. So, I mean, I think that we should be giving a big hand to the coaches, especially the offensive coaches, for the way they game plan, having both sides prepared like that, just ready to come out and attack the weaknesses of the defense right off the bat. Suspenseful, you know.
Yeah, the stars didn't let us down. I mean, Tyreek Hill, that kid is a blur,
man.
You know, and he showed them time and time again that if there's not two, maybe three defenders on him, he can go to the house.
Yeah.
On the Rams side, Todd Gurley, so patient.
Oh,
and, you know, just it's tough on him that he's not going to get an MVP look. It's tough because you got quarterbacks like Drew Brees, Pat Mahomes, even Jared Goff on his team playing at a high level. And Todd Gurley, you know, he might miss out on another MVP season, but he looks great. And that Rams defense is balanced. You know, you got Peters in the back, you know, and I know that must have been great for him, like getting looking at Andy Reid over there.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I mean, and Andy Reid is such a great coach. I mean, like when I watch Andy Reid coach, it's like you want your coach to be just like that, like to be able to galvanize.
Players, man,
it's just.
But do you think the Chiefs could have won that game?
Absolutely. Of course.
Absolutely. It was anyone's game.
It was so close.
Yeah, it was anyone's game. It's the small things when you're talking about late in football games.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chiefs allowed that Rams pressure to kick up late in the game. They didn't have a lot of success that front four, late in the game, getting penetration.
What actually may have hurt the Chiefs was the fact that they became one-dimensional close to the end of the game.
Mm.
They started to just look to pass, and then it allowed that Rams defensive line to do what they do best, and that's rush the passer.
They were able
to pin their ears back, and they knew that they were going to throw the ball.
And that's what I mean about the pass. Both of those interceptions looked like he made a terrible decision, but the Rams were only thinking pass.
Yeah.
Right. So they're not leaving 7-8 guys in the box. They're not thinking about run at all. They're saying, hey, we're going to drop everybody back, and you're going to have to beat us with your arm. And when you don't have that balance, that's why Todd Gurley is so important.
Yeah.
That's why the Rams front four and a guy like Peters is so important, is because they add to what Jared Goff has given them. And Sean McVay is out there consistently calling great play after great play. I mean, that team's they lost to the Saints, and I had question marks because the Saints didn't have a great defensive game to me, and I didn't think that they could run up and score 50 if they needed to.
Mm.
But now they cleared up that. So that team,
your
guys look like they might be able to go all the way. You know,
I mean, 51-54, obviously I'm a Rams fan.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of 51 points, LeBron James.
Oh, the King, he's back at it.
The Heat.
You know, let me start off by saying
he brought
that
the Heat to the Heat.
I'm a LeBron fan with a little splash of salt in it. You know what I mean? Like, you got to take a little grain of salt in it because I'm one of those guys that's always looking for him to do more as far as attacking and putting the onus on himself as far as the game goes. Like, a lot of times he defers to other people in spots where I feel like he should attack. And a lot of times I think he plays to mismatches a lot of times. And for me as a basketball fan, it's just not something I like to see personally.
Right.
I know there's nothing wrong with it.
Well, in today's game, and I'll be completely honest, that's coming from the coaching.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if you look at every coach, they're trying to get switches yeah. and they're trying to take advantage of mismatches. And that's been the game for a long time. Yeah. You know, the Bad Boy Pistons, they were famous for, yeah. you know, getting a mismatch and getting out of the way and letting Isaiah go or, you know, taking advantage of it on the defensive side. And when they have a, they'll put a bigger guy on a smaller guy and rotate the defense. Mm-hmm. And it's just all about matchups. I feel like LeBron is at the smartest that he could ever play the game of basketball. Mm-hmm. Right now, there's no wasted motion. There's no bad shots. Mm-hmm. He's in complete control. He doesn't even really elevate on his three-pointers because he walks into them and he steps into them, yeah. and he's got perfect rhythm.
Yeah, he's very calculated about what he does when he's out there on the floor. And I think one of the things that I could appreciate about the 51-point game was he didn't care who was guarding him.
Yeah.
You know, he showed different ways that he could attack the defense and still be effective. He wasn't so calculated with his shots. I mean, he took some deep threes where, yeah. you know, he just stared the defense down and just sure. and just shot it. So, I mean, I could appreciate this game a lot more than some of the other games, except for early in his career.
I mean, do you think it has anything to do with the fact that he was against the Heat?
No,
and he kind of felt like he had to prove something.
And look out Cleveland tonight because he has to set
yeah.
a precedent there
yeah.
that I know he'll get greeted with amazing cheers. There won't be a lot of boos in that building. But I'm asking you Cleveland people out there, we got any Cleveland fans, you won't get another guy like that to represent your town as well as he did with as much class and as much loyalty. Not to just come back, but also when he came back to do what he asked. What you guys ask and what he said he would always do is win a championship. So, you know, show him his love and, you know, give him his appreciation.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But he's going for 50 tonight.
Definitely. If you don't show him love for what he's done on the court, you got to show him love for what he's done off the court, especially in that community
True.
There in Cleveland.
Yeah.
We're not even going to talk about around the world, but yeah. we're just in that community there in Cleveland, what he's doing with the school that he's just built and all the other charitable things that he does in the community. I mean, like, you got to cheer for a guy like that. It's bigger than basketball at some point.
And I mean, we also have to touch on the fact of the shut up and dribble.
Well, I was going to say, and I'm glad you segued to that. It's a big reason why he went to LA was to, you know, further his production company and also start to become the business LeBron that he's going to be when his career is over. Mm-hmm. And you can see with the Shut Up and Dribble documentary that he's trying to let people know I'm more than that athlete.
Right.
That I grew up playing sports and I idolized the great ones, and those great ones that he idolized actually were activists as well off the court.
Yeah.
And he's continuing a great tradition of powerful, powerful sports figures talking for the little man and being there for other people.
He's put himself in that class of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, yeah. Muhammad Ali,
Bill Russell.
He's put himself in that class for sure. He's got a bunch of friends who have joined him on that journey and that also play in the NBA.
Awesome.
Shout outs to those guys as well because they've done their part. Wait, also,
even Maverick Carter.
Right. Yeah. And I was just getting ready to say that. Like, LeBron has especially done a good job
with
uplifting
agency.
Others around him. Employing his friends, you know what I mean, and getting them to the next level as well.
Yeah, when greatness like that is around you and you don't grab a piece of it, you're insane. I feel like everyone and everything that he touches prospers because his heart's always in the right place and he's always, always being selfless. It's never really about him.
I mean, there's a lot of potential we could say with the Yankees too.
Big trade just happened with the Yankees. Paxton Lynch, man, that's a really big pickup for them. But I'm a little wary, you know. I'm not 100% on the trade yet. I'm going to have to see it before I can really say that I believe it. He's had a lot of injuries through the last three to five years. ERA
This is my thing. Is that one player going to make them a contender? Yes or no? And the answer is no. You don't have to answer. The answer is no. They need to shore up five or six positions, in my opinion. They went after just the hitters. But the hitters are not great defenders. They need to get versatile guys, maybe two speedy guys that can steal some bases and manufacture runs. Go out and get, and I don't know anything about baseball, people, but I do know that the only way you beat a team like Boston who has versatility, who has veterans, who has hitters, and who has pitching is you have to shore up every single position on the depth chart. And these guys think that one guy, Paxton Lynch, Field or Lynchman, whatever this guy's name is going to fix things. That's not to say all. Yankees, go back into your pocketbook, start spending the money, but spend the money on quality guys who are versatile and who are good in the locker room, because it looks like you got a bunch of super prima donnas, not just prima donnas, but super prima donnas, and Judge and Garcia, Carlos Santana.
What?
Whatever, Carlos
Santana.
Whatever, man. You know the guy I'm talking about, man.
What you're saying?
Who just want to hit it as hard as they can?
Does,
and they're not adding to the game of baseball.
What you're saying does have some substance to it, because the Yankees do rely on the long ball a lot,
and you do need
to figure out ways to manufacture runs, because the Red Sox are a versatile team. And, you know, that's their main competition in the American League East. So we do need to shore up a lot of things. But we're also a contender already.
I was going to say.
We're also contenders already. That's not, let's not jump off the deep end.
Should they watch videos? The Red Sox playing?
No, I mean, that's not the personality of the players that they have. I think in baseball, your makeup and your build as the player that you are, what you've done to get to that point, is more true in baseball than anything else. Like in basketball, you can kind of become more versatile and maybe add things to your game. But in baseball, it's kind of like, if you're a big home run hitter, you're a big home run hitter. You don't go from being a home run hitter to an average guy.
You're not going to get faster overnight. That's for sure.
Yeah, so you
Yankees got to go out and get good players, man. Right. They got to treat free agency like it's important.
Who are the best players right now, in your opinion?
Well, they went out and got the best pitcher available. That's why I can't 100% knock the trade. That's why I have to be with it in some aspect, because they did go out and get a guy, right? They went out and got a guy. I mean, and now they have two aces, because Severino's an ace. You know, he struggles sometimes, but for the most part, he's bounced back and finished strong both years.
Half an ace.
Yeah, you know, he's a wild card, you know.
He's an ace of diamond.
Yeah, you know, so I think that, you know, Paxton's going to bring a nice addition to our team if he can handle the New York spotlight. I think that Brian Cashman has failed in trying to bring in big time pitchers throughout the years. You know, that's something
about earlier,
that's
about
something
the management
that he,
part.
Yeah.
I always look to the management when I think about the Yankees, because you guys are out here paying money for the Showtime, get everybody in the seats players, instead of the guy that's gonna further the agenda of
the
team.
Well, I think the problem is that they're going after guys who come from small markets, who aren't adjusted to playing in a market like New York. And when they get to New York, they get ate up by that monster. Yeah. So we've seen it, we just saw it happen with Pineda. And now we're bringing in another guy from the Mariners who comes from another small market. And the risk is just so high when you know, bring in a guy like that. They traded away their top prospect as far as pitching is concerned in Justin Sheffield, but he wasn't proven. So that's what gives me a little bit of comfort with this, that we didn't give up a lot and the return could be very big.
Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Thinking about,
I'm
you
cooking.
Know. Yeah, you know, I'm a Thanksgiving fan, but not just for the food, but because of how it brings everybody together. You know, it's just a reason for family to come together. It's a reason for people to think about what they're thankful for.
Yeah.
And gratitude is a big part of my life, giving back to everyone. But this is a chance that I get to give back to my immediate family and really share and fellowship with them. So I'm excited about Thanksgiving.
Definitely.
Not just the day off, but, you know, to be able to, you know, like I said, fellowship with my people.
Yeah. Thanksgiving is an important holiday, man. We need all of these times that bring family together. I feel like nowadays family structure is lost. You know, people don't build as families. We don't spend time together as families. A lot of times it's just friends now. You know, friends are the new family nowadays.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, now's the time to be with friends and family, you know, and just be thankful. Like you said, you know, being thankful is something that we're not all the time.
I will say this, though. As a matriarch, you got to cook, still maintenance
clean.
The kids, clean. You got to clean all the dishes after it's done.
Dishwasher.
All the garbage. You know, you got a crazy.
It's going to be a crazy.
We just got to watch
days.
Football.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much, you know, right? You guys watch football, eat the juice box, eat the food. You know? Yeah.
So it must be tough. Not a lot of pressure on us on this holiday.
Yeah, no, right.
So I will commend you for being able to be here.
This is one of my favorite holidays just for that reason.
I should be cooking right now.
Yeah, you know.
You know, I did my part by bringing in the groceries last night. So
I'm
done.
You do your part and you do it well.
Then I'm done.
Be the best you can.
I got the groceries upstairs in less than 5 minutes. I got them upstairs in less than 5 minutes. I just want to mention
that. I will
that.
Say that. You know, I will say that. I watch
MSNBC. I mean, you guys don't cook at all?
I do a little bit.
Yeah,
of,
you know,
you know,
I might
breakfast.
Do a little Thanksgiving breakfast. Yeah, you know, maybe a pancake or two. Yeah.
I'm
wait,
real
the
good
frozen
with
pancake?
No. Okay. I'm going from scratch. Look at the flick of the wrist.
Well, but I'll be honest. I was watching MSNBC and it was talking about a poll on how many people want to talk about politics, how many people don't care. You know when you get together and that table and it's 10 to 12 people and the kids are on the side and now the adults are sitting there, do you talk about politics? And I say yes. Mm-hmm. I want to know how everyone feels. I don't judge anybody. If I'm sitting with someone that's a Trump supporter, you know what? Amen to you.
Hey, listen,
you know,
man,
and continue to believe in what you believe.
I'm judging people, man. I done almost had fights at the table over politics, man. You know, my family takes it serious.
I mean, they say don't talk about politics and don't talk about religion.
Well, 40% of people said they won't talk about politics.
Right.
45% of the people said they didn't care, and 15% said they're intrigued. They want to see what other people think. Mm-hmm. So it just shows me that most people don't care, for one, and others, they want to use that time to just talk about good things. They don't want to argue and they don't want to start looking at somebody that they once looked at one way. And then when you find out that they're a Trump supporter, you're like, man, what I got myself into inviting them to this party. So I really just want everybody to continue to have consciousness and continue to ask questions about what's going on in our society. And, you know, never allow yourself to be complacent when finding information. It's everywhere. Don't believe the quote fake news. That's not necessarily in Wikipedia. It was something made over the last 2 years by a crazy man with orange hair. We are news, and that's why we say it the way we say it, is because we want you guys to, you know, get a natural organic feel for what we have to report to you guys. And right now it's sports, but we also like to put in a little social issues because we're not just sports. And what do you want to say to leave us off, Nikki?
you threw me off with the whole Trump thing. I was like, wait a minute, where are we going with this?
That's what Trump would do. He'll throw you off.
I heard orange hair, and I'm like, you know what? I gotta make some sweet
potato
pie.
Yeah, he started the whole fake news thing, man. You know, and now people
Trump
are coining the phrase. You know, I feel bad because I went to school with a lot of, you know, very serious journalists and people that are doing things on a large scale right now.
Yeah.
And to have your career work, you know, diminished because of one person's ill-mannered, you know, attempt to block out the media so that people don't know the real things that he's doing. It's obvious why he says it. And I just hope that everyone finds information for themselves and, you know, continue to love each other and, you know, don't be afraid of politics. You know, once we, you know, realize that we have the power in politics,
yeah,
it'll be a lot better.
I mean, the most powerful tool we have is our voices.
Absolutely.
And I always say that, let your voice be heard. And,
right, yeah, Sports Talk Radio.
You know, everybody, I hope everyone has a safe and happy Thanksgiving. And, you
know,
try to let some of these men do the cooking.
No, don't do that. I know the gym will be full on Monday. You know, I'm looking forward to putting on a few pounds myself. You know,
from eating other people's cooking.
Definitely, reach out to us, man, by DM.
I specialize in that.
I just picked up a few new guys for training. Anybody wants to reach out to train, holler at us, you know. We'll catch up with y'all next week at the same time.
Same time.
Be back in here on Monday, getting back to this work.
We're going to leave y'all with our theme song because it's oh so special.
Yes.
No one else has one like us.
Rock out with us.
Y'all definitely, you know, continue to join, man. This
platform
is getting bigger.
You could have been anywhere else in the world.
But
in another week or two,
watching.
Or three, we're going to have our own studio in Park Slope, Brooklyn. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're going to invite a bunch of people out there to come fellowship.
You guys
with us,
make
so
sure y'all pop out.
Just keep watching. Keep watching, keep trusting.
It's a trifecta from long range, you done messed up. Get ready for this full court pressure. Straight talk to your gut like a Hail Mary. Stiff arm in competition, now they ain't ready. We ain't worried, got the play in the huddle. Hard hitting commentary, make the faint at heart fumble. Be humble, you ain't ready for the skills. Triple double, let them know the game is real. Swinging for the bleachers every time. Grand slam every time they hear me rhyme. I'm in my prime, no limit on the scrimmage. Scramble, shake, and bake, got the opposition spinning. I'm there grinning, this is easy as a layup. Trash talking to the haters, players say what? Chatting all crazy, gotta play me though. This is Sports Talk Radio. This is Sports Talk Radio, radio, radio. This is Sports Talk Radio, radio, radio. This is Sports Talk Radio, radio, radio. This is Sports Talk Radio. This is Sports Talk Radio, radio, radio. This is Sports Talk Radio, radio, radio. This is Sports Talk Radio, radio, radio. This is Sports Talk Radio, radio.